They climb up a mountain 15 times and pay good money to do it. The event is called 29,029 Everesting, because 15 times up the mountain is the equivalent of the elevation in feet of Mount Everest. The New Yorker reported on this event in an article about the business of motivational speaking. Evidently, it's a very highly profitable occupation to have these days. And the event organizer and main speaker of this Everesting is Jesse Itzler, or maybe Eitzler, I'm not sure, who easily spouts, if the goal doesn't scare you, then it's not big enough. Climbing up a mountain seems to be in line with other things like this, most famously walking on hot coals with bare feet. The article, however, gives perspective about that. In fact, Eisler himself says, anyone could do that if they moved briskly. Coals are relatively poor conductors of heat, but it made you feel invincible. 15 times up the mountain requires more grit, as well as some communal encouragement. The author of the article is named Tad Friend. I'm not making this up. It's good to have Tad Friend along, I think, if you're going up at the mountain, and maybe then you have somebody who's a tad friendly next to you. Evidently, though, motivational speaking is huge. So many promises to deliver and so much money to be made. The industry is big on persistence, overcoming obstacles, willpower, along with the implicit promise of new wealth. You can will your way to success. Want to feel invincible? Okay, maybe let's see if we can go through 2023 times, see ya humba, with all the movement. Once for each year of the since Christ was born. Yeah, won't your pulse go up just thinking about doing 2023 times, see ya humba? But the Gospel of Luke does not take us there. In Luke, there is no Olympic runner sprinting up the mountain. Instead, he tells us this morning of an old man blessing a baby. In Luke, there are no three paths to perfection, no five quick fixes to ensure success. He gives us Anna, a widow, praising a child. The early church doesn't even remember her words, but Luke takes pains to point her out as she points to Jesus. Simeon's big quest was seeing the Messiah before he kicked off. His hopes were answered. But what does he get? He gets God in his arms. But it is God in diapers, wiggling, crying, burping. We've become so used to the Christmas story with precious baby and mother, sheep and straw, we can forget how scandalous it really is. Is this what God looks like when God enters the world? Does God come to us as a totally defenseless baby, totally dependent on human care? Is that the God we get? To wrap our heads around all the implications, takes more than a verse of Silent Night. Simeon floats some big words above the baby's head: salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, glory. Jesus probably sleeps. God comes as a baby, a poor, illegitimate, no-count baby. And Simeon tells us this is exactly the light he is looking for. But it is clearly not the light our world is looking for. When I was young, a weekly sports show was aired on Sunday afternoon with the tagline, "The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat." Do any of you remember this? Yeah, it came to me in living black and white and sometimes with a lot of snow. Who remembers snow on TV? Yeah, see, I'm really aged now. But week after week, when we saw that program, we also saw the ski jumper coming down the ramp and falling off the ramp. But victory and defeat seemed to be the categories. Not much room even for second and third place. And those categories stay with us. We go more and more in that direction, divided into winners and losers. And no one wants to be a loser, although at some time or another, most of us are. So when winning is everything, brute power, bombs and drones, the squeaky wheel, the pointed elbow, in fact, they win. Power and wealth in our world come out on top, all the time. That's the way our world works. Except in the Gospel of Luke, the mother of Jesus sings, "The rich will be sent empty away." Jesus preaches, "Blessed are the poor," and he is reviled by religious leaders, and the culmination of his ministry is a cross. He is illegitimate, heretical, unholy, criminal. And if Luke had a mem, it would be hashtag, "Give all your money to the poor, now." God comes to Simeon and Anna as a baby, and in this baby, they see salvation, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of the people of Israel. It's way long on promise and way short on muscle. Of course, babies do have their own kind of power. They quickly learn to cry. They smile when they recognize faces. They are an endless source of wonder and also of concern. They have a big impact on the lives of their parents. Isn't that so? Ezra Klein, on a recent podcast, remarked how the presence of his firstborn changed even simple things like going to the grocery store. It was no longer just a quick shopping trip, but an entry into a land of a thousand hazards. I have no direct experience because I have no children of my own. But I do know that many parents have told me this was a radical change in their lives. And sometimes when I look at young parents particularly, it seems like they need a long winter's nap from all that change. But if we do a map of life-changing events, very often right at the top is the birth of the first child. Parents have a BC time, a before child time, and an AD time, the years and years of diapers development and adolescent disarray and doubt. But the changes are marked, even radical.
Likewise, the baby in front of Simeon and Anna reorients our searching, our hoping. God comes to us as a child who changes our lives. With a baby in one's arms, one does not ask who wins and who loses. The question turns out to be, how do I love this child? And when this child before us is Jesus, then we suddenly realize we have a world full of children in our arms, and their voices echo from their holes in the rubble, their hands plead for food in Darfur. They seek a future as they dig for cobalt in a dangerous mine in the Congo. When God comes as a child, God comes as love, needing love. Is that a goal big enough to scare you? That every baby be loved as if it were baby Jesus? That even the babies of our enemies are loved by God, needing love, bringing love? Is this not the light shining bright as revelation to the Gentiles, to the nations, to us? It is clear that Putin and Netanyahu's bombs can destroy, along those with Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis. The pursuit of money and power unleashes untold suffering in our world. Opposition is easily quashed. Barbed lies with their twists destroy persons of goodwill. The jails and the graveyards are full of martyrs. We know very well the games of winning and losing, of success or bombed out failure. But when God wants to be with us, God's entry point was neither within the towers of Herod nor embedded in the wisdom of the scribes and the Pharisees. What strange good news. God comes as a baby, love incarnate, needing love. And in this love is life. In this love is salvation. In this love is the light for the revelation to the Gentiles. When this love comes, winning and losing no longer matter. It's not that I'm opposed to adrenaline. Most of you know me well enough to know that I've kicked up some of it myself. We seem to be wired to enjoy the rush of energy that comes from challenge and competition. Seeing if I can beat Devin at chess is a big kind of But we as human beings get ugly when winning is everything and when success is the only criterion. Then we, like Herod, no longer want this God that Anna greets, preferring a cheerleading God, a God who pumps iron, a God who blasts through the opposition as if God were the ultimate motivational speaker. But that is not the God we get in Jesus. Sometimes I think I can only make these affirmations now because I'm an old man, no longer burdened by climbing or proving or keeping ahead. But surely, to be human is more than the display of strong arms and clever brains. To be human includes a daring heart, a heart that comes alive holding a child in one's arms, even if it is not my child. The heart that imagines other possibilities than arms and elbows. In Christ, there can be no such thing as a Christian nationalist. The baby Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, shattering all the categories that would restrict and define. The child of whom Simeon speaks is not limited to Americans or white people or those with money. This sun rising with healing in his wings is for all nations and people, and for children who throw things on the floor. If you want a God who is only on your side, then go away. This Jesus is not for you. Because in Christ Jesus, there are no more sides. But if you want a God at your side, or better yet, from this morning's text, if you want a God in your arms, like a baby, love, needing love, giving love, Jesus. The good news changes us like a baby. Love is where the living is worth the living. And this love can grow up in us like a little boy, becoming strong, filled with wisdom. Success and power are endlessly contested, but love reigns, for God is love. And with love in our arms, fears fall away, and we discover over and over that we have found that the favor of God is with us and in us. Amen.